Part 1. The Numenorean Kings. Numenor. Feanor was the greatest of the Eldar in arts and law, but also the proudest and most self-willed. He wrought the three jewels, the Silmarilli, and filled them with the radiance of the two trees, Telperion and Laurelin, that gave light to the land of the Valar. The jewels were coveted by Morgoth, the enemy, who stole them and, after destroying the trees, took them to Middle-earth and guarded them in his great fortress of Thangorodrim. Against the will of the Valar, Feanor forsook the Blessed Realm and went in exile to Middle-earth, leading with him a great part of his people, for in his pride he purposed to recover the jewels from Morgoth by force. Thereafter followed the hopeless war of the Eldar and the Edain against Thangorodrim, in which they were at last utterly defeated. The Edain, Atarni, were three peoples of men who, coming first to the west of Middle-earth and the shores of the Great Sea, became allies of the Eldar against the enemy.
Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of the Annals of the Kings and Rulers, an appendix to The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien, narrated by Robert Inglis.
The legends, histories, and lore to be found in the sources are very extensive. Only selections from them, in most places much abridged, are here presented. Their principal purpose is to illustrate the War of the Ring and its origins, and to fill up some of the gaps in the main story. The ancient legends of the First Age, in which Bilbo's chief interest lay, are very briefly referred to, since they concern the ancestry of Elrond and the Numenorean kings and chieftains. The dates given are those of the Third Age, unless they are quoted as Second Age or Fourth Age. The Third Age was held to have ended when the Three Rings passed away in September 3021, but for the purposes of records in Gondor, Fourth Age 1 began on March the 25th, 3021. Part 1. The Numenorean Kings. Numenor. Feanor was the greatest of the Eldar in arts and law, but also the proudest and most self-willed. He wrought the three jewels, the Silmarilli, and filled them with the radiance of the two trees, Telperion and Laurelin, that gave light to the land of the Valar. The jewels were coveted by Morgoth, the enemy, who stole them and, after destroying the trees, took them to Middle-earth, and guarded them in his great fortress of Thangorodrim. Against the will of the Valar, Feanor forsook the Blessed Realm and went in exile to Middle-earth, leading with him a great part of his people, for in his pride he purposed to recover the jewels from Morgoth by force. Thereafter followed the hopeless war of the Eldar and the Edain against Thangorodrim, in which they were at last utterly defeated. The Edain, Atarni, were three peoples of men who, coming first to the west of Middle-earth and the shores of the Great Sea, became allies of the Eldar against the enemy. There were three unions of the Eldar and the Edain, Lúthien and Beren, Idril and Tuor, Arwen and Aragorn. By the last, the long-sundered branches of the half-elven were reunited, and their line was restored. Lúthien Tenúvil was the daughter of King Thingol, Greycloak of Doriath in the First Age. But her mother was Melian, of the people of the Valar. Beren was the son of Barahir, of the first house of the Edain. Together they wrested a Silmaril from the Iron Crown of Morgoth. Lúthien became mortal and was lost to elvenkind. Dior was her son. Elwing was his daughter, and had in her keeping the Silmaril. Idril Celebrimbor was the daughter of Turgon, king of the hidden city of Gondolin. Tuor was the son of Huor of the house of Hador, the third house of the Edain, and the most renowned in the wars with Morgoth. Earendil the mariner was their son. Earendil wedded Elwing, and with the power of the Silmaril passed the shadows and came to the uttermost west, and speaking as ambassador of both elves and men, obtained the help by which Morgoth was overthrown. Earendil was not permitted to return to mortal lands, and his ship, bearing the Silmaril, was set to sail in the heavens as a star, and a sign of hope to the dwellers in Middle-earth, oppressed by the great enemy or his servants. The Silmarilli alone preserved the ancient light of the two trees of Valinor before Morgoth poisoned them, but the other two were lost at the end of the First Age. Of these things the full tale, and much else concerning elves and men, is told in the Silmarillion. The sons of Earendil were Elros and Elrond, the Perithil or half-elven. In them alone the line of the heroic chieftains of the Edain in the First Age was preserved, and after the fall of Gil-galad, the lineage of the High Elven Kings was also in Middle-earth only represented by their descendants. At the end of the First Age, the Valar gave to the Half-Elven an irrevocable choice to which kindred they would belong. Elrond chose to be of Elven kind, and became a master of wisdom. To him, therefore, was granted the same grace as to those of the High Elves that still lingered in Middle-earth, that when weary at last of the mortal lands, they could take ship from the Grey Havens and pass into the uttermost west. And this grace continued after the change of the world. But to the children of Elrond a choice was also appointed, to pass with him from the circles of the world, or if they remained, to become mortal and die in Middle-earth. For Elrond, therefore, all chances of the War of the Ring were fraught with sorrow. Elros chose to be of mankind, and remain with the Edain, but a great lifespan was granted to him many times that of lesser men. As a reward for their sufferings and the cause against Morgoth, the Valar, the guardians of the world, granted to the Edain a land to dwell in, removed from the dangers of Middle-earth. Most of them, therefore, set sail oversea, and guided by the star of Earendil, came to the great Isle of Elenna, westernmost of all mortal lands. There they founded the realm of Numenor. There was a tall mountain in the midst of the land, the Menel Tamer, and from its summit the far-sighted could descry the white tower of the haven of the Eldar in Eressëa. Thence the Eldar came to the Edain, and enriched them with knowledge and many gifts, but one command had been laid upon the Numenorians, the ban of the Valar. They were forbidden to sail west out of sight of their own shores, or to attempt to set foot on the Undying Lands. For though a long span of life had been granted to them, in the beginning thrice that of lesser men, they must remain mortal, since the Valar were not permitted to take from them the gift of men, or the doom of men, as it was afterwards called. Elros was the first king of Numenor, and was afterwards known by the High Elven name Tar-Minyator. His descendants were long-lived but mortal. Later, when they became powerful, they begrudged the choice of their forefather, desiring the immortality within the life of the world that was the fate of the Eldar, and murmuring against the ban. In this way began their rebellion, which, under the evil teaching of Sauron, brought about the downfall of Numenor and the ruin of the ancient world, as is told in the Ar-Calabith. These are the names of the kings and queens of Numenor: Elros Tar-Minyator, Vardamir, Tar-Amandil, Tar-Elendil, Tar-Meneldur, Tar-Aldarion, Tar-Ankalime, the first ruling queen, Tar-Anarion, Tar-Surion, Tartelperien, the second queen, Tarminastir, Tarkiriatan, Taratanamir the Great, Tarankalimon, Tartelemaite, Tarvanimelde, the third queen, Taralkarin, Tarkalmakil. After Kalmakil, the kings took the scepter in names of the Numenorian or Adonaic tongue. Ar Adunahor, Ar Zimrathon, Ar Sakalthor, Ar Gimilzor, Ar Inziladun. Inziladun repented of the ways of the kings and changed his name to Tar Palantir, the far-sighted. His daughter should have been the fourth queen, Tar Miriel, but the king's nephew usurped the scepter and became Ar Pharazon, the golden, last king of the Numenoreans. In the days of Tar Elendil, the first ships of the Numenoreans came back to Middle-earth. His elder child was a daughter, Silmarien. Her son was Valandil, first of the lords of Andúnië in the west of the land, renowned for their friendship with the Eldar. From him were descended Amandil, the last lord, and his son Elendil the Tall. The sixth king left only one child, a daughter. She became the first queen, for it was then made a law of the royal house that the eldest child of the king, whether man or woman, should receive the scepter. The realm of Numenor endured to the end of the Second Age, and increased ever in power and splendour. And until half the age had passed, the Numenoreans grew also in wisdom and joy. The first sign of the shadow that was to fall upon them appeared in the days of Tar Minastir, 11th king. He it was that sent a great force to the aid of Gil-galad. He loved the Eldar, but envied them. The Numenoreans had now become great mariners, exploring all the seas eastward, and they began to yearn for the west and the forbidden waters. And the more joyful was their life, the more they began to long for the immortality of the Eldar. Moreover, after Minastir, the kings became greedy of wealth and power. At first the Numenoreans had come to Middle-earth as teachers and friends of lesser men afflicted by Sauron. But now their havens became fortresses, holding wide coastlands in subjection. Atanamir and his successors levied heavy tribute, and the ships of the Numenoreans returned laden with spoil. It was Tar Atanamir who first spoke openly against the ban and declared that the life of the Eldar was his by right. Thus the shadow deepened, and the thought of death darkened the hearts of the people. Then the Numenoreans became divided. On the one hand were the kings and those who followed them, and were estranged from the Eldar and the Valar. On the other were the few who called themselves the faithful. They lived mostly in the west of the land. The kings and their followers little by little abandoned the use of the Eldar in tongues. And at last the 20th king took his royal name in Numenorean form, calling himself Ar Adunahor, Lord of the West. This seemed ill-omened to the faithful, for hitherto they had given that title only to one of the Valar, or to the elder king himself. And indeed, Ar Adunahor began to persecute the faithful, and punished those who used the elven tongues openly. And the Eldar came no more to Numenor. The power and wealth of the Numenoreans nonetheless continued to increase, but their years lessened as their fear of death grew, and their joy departed. Tar Palantir attempted to amend the evil, but it was too late, and there was rebellion and strife in Numenor. When he died, his nephew, leader of the rebellion, seized the scepter and became King Ar Pharazon. Ar Pharazon the Golden was the proudest and the most powerful of all the kings, and no less than the kingship of the world was his desire. He resolved to challenge Sauron the Great for the supremacy in Middle-earth, and at length he himself set sail with a great navy, and he landed at Umbar. So great was the might and splendour of the Numenoreans that Sauron's own servants deserted him, and Sauron humbled himself, doing homage and craving pardon. Then Ar-Pharazôn, in the folly of his pride, carried him back as prisoner to Numenor. It was not long before he had bewitched the king and was master of his council, and soon he had turned the hearts of all the Numenoreans, except the remnant of the faithful, back towards the darkness. And Sauron lied to the king, declaring that everlasting life would be his who possessed the undying lands, and that the ban was imposed only to prevent the kings of men from surpassing the Valar. "But great kings take what is their right," he said. At length Ar-Pharazôn listened to this counsel, for he felt the waning of his days and was besotted by the fear of death. He prepared then the greatest armament that the world had seen, and when all was ready, he sounded his trumpets and set sail. And he broke the ban of the Valar, going up with war to wrest everlasting life from the lords of the West. But when Ar-Pharazôn set foot upon the shores of Arman the Blessed, the Valar laid down their guardianship, and called upon the One, and the world was changed. Numenor was thrown down and swallowed in the sea, and the undying lands were removed for ever from the circles of the world. So ended the glory of Numenor. The last leaders of the faithful, Elendil and his sons, escaped from the downfall with 9 ships, bearing a seedling of Nimloth, and the 7 seeing stones, gifts of the Eldar to their house. And they were borne on the wings of a great storm, and cast upon the shores of Middle-earth. There they established in the northwest the Numenorean realms in exile, Arnor and Gondor. Elendil was the high king, and dwelt in the north at Annúminas, and the rule in the south was committed to his sons, Isildur and Anarion. They founded there Osgiliath, between Minas Ithil and Minas Arnor, not far from the confines of Mordor. For this good, at least, they believed had come out of ruin, that Sauron also had perished. But it was not so. Sauron was indeed caught in the wreck of Numenor, so that the bodily form in which he long had walked perished. But he fled back to Middle-earth, a spirit of hatred borne upon a dark wind. He was unable ever again to assume a form that seemed fair to men, but became black and hideous, and his power thereafter was through terror alone. He re-entered Mordor, and hid there for a time in silence. But his anger was great when he learned that Elendil, whom he most hated, had escaped him, and was now ordering a realm upon his borders. Therefore, after a time he made war upon the exiles, before they should take root. Orodruin burst once more into flame, and was named anew in Gondor Armon Amarth, Mount Doom. But Sauron struck too soon, before his own power was rebuilt. Where is the power of Gil-galad had increased in his absence? And in the last alliance that was made against him, Sauron was overthrown, and the One Ring was taken from him. So ended the Second Age.